Still in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we had looked at down through about verse 28, 29. We'll read there. Speaking of the children of Israel, says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, as we have mentioned, and of course this is considered to be the faith chapter. I've heard some say it's the hall of fame of faith, you know, and usually the emphasis is placed on what these people did, how great they are, and they did these things. And surely there are great men who have been raised up by the Lord, but that's the one thing we need to keep in mind, is that's what made them great, is that the Lord raised them up. They weren't great men who God recognized. As it is often, the idea is God's looking for men of faith. And He's looking out here in the world, and there's one over there. He found one, and He says, I'm going to use this man. But that's not the picture at all. I mean, speaking of Moses, Moses wandering around in the desert. He wasn't trying to do anything for the Lord. I mean, he was just trying to get out of Egypt so they wouldn't kill him. He was afraid to go back. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to go back. I don't imagine he was too excited about that, do you? Because he knew what was in Egypt. Because he'd been there. But the Lord, you know, He deals with His people and He causes them to be great in the times that He purposes for them to be great. Peter was, on the one hand, a strong man among the disciples, was he not? I mean, he got out of the boat and he was right in the forefront of all of the things that were going on. Peter was, he was a man among men. He was the one that pulled out his sword in the garden to cut the man's head off. And he, of course, the Lord directed the sword. It only cut the man's ear off, just to show you the inability of the flesh. I mean, here's Peter, a great strong man. He can't even cut a man's head off because the Lord directed the sword to do exactly what He wanted it to do. And He wanted to show Peter. Now, you know, I think sometimes about Peter, he's got in his mind, I'm going to kill this guy. Whack. And all of a sudden, he can't do it. You ever had a dream when you was in a dream and something was coming after you, or you knew you needed to do something, and you were just trying to do it, and you know you needed to do it, and you wanted to do it, but you just couldn't do it. Well, that's just exactly how the Lord brings a man to the place to show him what he is by nature. And that is what the Lord's doing here. But you see, Peter was a man whom the Lord didn't choose Peter because of who Peter was. He chose Peter because he loved Peter. And he made Peter to be what he wanted him to be. And he wanted to teach Peter some things. And he wanted to teach his disciples some things. And so Peter was on the one hand whimpering and denying that he even knew the Lord. And then on the day of Pentecost, he was standing up in front of this crowd of thousands of people testifying to the risen Savior. Now, what was the difference? Was it Peter just got hold of himself and said, you know, I'm going to just be strong? No. The Spirit of God came upon him. And he made him great. And Peter rose up in greatness before the people in the might of the Lord. But that's what this chapter is about. It's about those whom God is pleased to use. And surely, these were men of faith. But they were men of faith because God wrought that faith in them, just as we've talked about Sarah and Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. It wasn't of the flesh. It wasn't a possible thing. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now think about that for a minute, because the children of Israel, what did they say when Moses, they saw the Egyptians coming? Did they say, oh, brother, let's just believe. We can get through this Red Sea and escape these Egyptians. No, they said, oh, no! Moses, you brought us out here into the desert, and now that you brought us out here so we get killed. They didn't believe anything, but what's the Scripture says? By faith. By faith. They passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Because you see, what did God do? He opened up the Red Sea. And when the sea opened up, what did they say? Man, we can make it. Yeah, we can get away. But you see, it was what God did that brought that pass, was it not? It wasn't that they were sitting there believing so strong that God said, oh, I see them believing, now I'm going to open up the sea because of an answer to their faith. No. God brought that to pass, and he caused them to believe. See, that because what Moses say to them, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they did they not? When they saw that sea open up, and they went through it on dry land, which it says the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Why? Because they weren't given faith. You see, the avenue of faith was not theirs. Now, it looked the same to them. I mean, they saw the dry land just as much so as the Israelites did, didn't they? And they went on in there for a ways. See, man in the flesh, he can go a ways in what he called faith. There's nothing more common than those that say, oh, brother, we believe and we're going to do wondrous things, and they do great things, attempt great things for God and do great things for God and all of that stuff. But you see, the Egyptians weren't given faith. And even though they walked in the same pathway that the Israelites did, or they rode in the chariots in that same channel down through there, the waters came in and swallowed them up, whereas the children of Israel passed through by faith. Now, was it their faith, or was it the work of God? We know what the answer to that is. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, do you imagine that all those guys walking around those that those walls for 7 days when Joshua said, "All right, I want y'all, we're going to go march around." He said, "Come on, man. We have marched around this thing for nearly four or five days. I've lost count. What are we doing? This is a waste of time." They weren't all saying, "Brother, we just got two, three more days and we'll have it." No, but it says by faith. By faith the walls fell down. Why? Because God caused the walls to fall down. And that's the faith of God's people, is He gave it to them. When did they believe the walls would fall down? When the walls fell down, didn't they? They said the walls fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, if they'd have went around them 6 days, would the walls fell down? No, because God said you're going to go around them 7 days. It wasn't a matter of, could they have gone around it 6 days and quit? Could they? No. Now, in the free will world, people say, "Oh, well, they might have just overturned the will of God. I mean, God said, we're going to make the walls of Jericho fall down after you go 7 times, but they only went 6. You know, God would have done great things, but they didn't let Him. No, by faith these things fell down because, you see, God was the worker of these things, and He brought it to pass, and He caused His people to believe. As a result of those things that He did by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, what was it that caused Rahab to believe? Why was she different than all the rest of them? Can you answer that? There's no rational reason that should have been, was it? Except that God gave her faith to believe. And by faith, she perished not with them that didn't believe when she'd received the spies. And what shall I more say? He said, I could go on and on and on and on with this. He said, the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. And Gideon, was he a man of faith? I mean, the Lord said, Gideon, get up and go down here and do this. He said, well, how do I know that you're going to do this? And then you remember He put out the fleece, and he had the, I don't remember which came first, but he had, I believe, the fleece was wet and the ground was dry. And then he said, that was pretty good, but how about this? Let me put out the fleece, and this time you caused the fleece to be dry and the ground to be wet. And the Lord did those things. But you see, Gideon did that by faith, did he not? Because the Lord moved him to do those things. And of Barak, now you remember Barak, he's kind of, in our minds, one of those insignificant figures, but Deborah, the prophetess, believed that God gave her grace and faith to believe that the enemies of God were going to be destroyed, and she gave the prophecy. And Barak, he didn't want to go, but he finally gave in and said, "Okay, you know, we're going to go." But yet the Scripture says, by faith, Barak, and of Samson. Now, if you had to think of a man of faith, would you name Samson among the men of faith? I mean, Samson. If you look at the things, the life of Samson, he appears to be just a man of the flesh, does he not? I mean, the things he did, but yet, the Scripture says, by faith. Because you see, when Samson had come down to the end of himself, and he had no strength of his own, now he really didn't have any to start with, did he? Not really. But the strength that Samson had was a gift of God. But when Samson came to the place where he recognized that, and he was between those two pillars, and he asked the Lord for strength, And the Lord brought down that house. Now, by faith, Samson did those things. And of Jephthah. You remember Jephthah? Remember he made a vow that if the Lord would give him victory, that the first thing that came out of his house when he was coming back home, that he would offer it unto the Lord. And remember what happened? His daughter came out to greet him. And he says, oh, woe is me. Now, as a sidelight to that, I think that as you study that, and if you get involved in that, Jephthah did not offer his daughter as a burnt sacrifice, but he gave her as a servant unto the Lord, and she was basically she was to be unmarried and live out her days in the temple service, so that it was a. Some have tried to say that this was a matter of Jephthah actually burnt his daughter as a burnt offering unto the Lord in a literal sense, in the sense, and to make it so that God would be pleased with such a thing. Now, God said from the beginning he wasn't pleased with such things. One of the things that he said made the difference between his people and the heathen was that they did not give their infants unto the fires of Molech, that is, offer human sacrifice. So that was not what Jephthah did, but he did sacrifice his daughter, even as Samuel's mother gave her son unto the Lord in that same fashion. And of David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms without wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I mean, all of these things, these things came to pass, who through faith did these things, stopped the mouths of lions. Now, Daniel, I think that's probably speaking directly of him. What did he do to keep the lions from eating him?
Slept on a rock.
I mean, what did he do? I suspect he was probably cowered up in the corner of the thing just hoping that lions didn't eat him. He didn't do anything to keep the lions from eating him. But you see, through faith, those lions' mouths were stopped. Because, you see, it was by faith that Daniel believed God that whatever the Lord would have would be right, and he would not bow the knee unto any but the Lord. And by faith, he didn't know what the Lord would do. He didn't know if the Lord would stop the mouths of the lions, but the Lord did. And the Lord stopped the mouths of the lions, who through faith quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, over and over again we find these examples given to us in the Scriptures of how the Lord delivered His people, not because they believed Him, because half the time they didn't believe Him, or more than half the time. Most time they were, well, this can't ever be. How could that possibly be? Women received their dead raised to life again. You remember the Shulamite woman that the prophet came and raised her son to life again. And she had sent for the prophet, remember? He said, is it well with thee? She says, it is well. Because, you see, she believed that whatever God did would be right. If He didn't give her son back to her alive, that would be right. But she received her son back to life again, not because she believed, but to demonstrate the work of God. And that is, as we see it, you see, it causes God's people to believe, does it not? When we see the miracles, it causes us to believe. Now, a lot of people saw the miracles and they didn't believe. We see the miracles that are recorded in the pages of Scripture and we believe. Now, there are people today that's why they believe somebody's going out here doing all these different miracles and things and things that people can see. And they say, oh, well, we believe because, oh, did you see old brother so-and-so and he was doing this, that, and the other? No, we believe God. We believe what God did. And if God sees fit to heal somebody, we believe God. If God sees fit to take somebody's life, we believe God. That's what Paul said. He said, whether therefore we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. It doesn't make any difference. And others, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Think about Stephen. He was tortured. He was stoned to death. Well, what did he do? He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Because you see, he believed God. Why did he believe? Because God caused him to believe. He couldn't do anything else. He couldn't have stood up before those men and denied that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't walk away and not testify of those things that God had burned in his heart. Because, you see, it was the work of God. How could a man forgive another those who are stoning him to death except it be the grace of God? Tortured for the faith of Christ, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, there's not two or three different kinds of resurrections. When it's speaking about a better resurrection, it doesn't say, well, you got four or five choices. You can have just a plain old resurrection, or you can have a resurrection with a fiery chariot, or you can have this kind of resurrection or that. So in order to move up the scale, they did these things. That's not what it means. It means the same thing that Paul said, that he said, these I have count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not arrived yet. But this one thing I do, I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He said, I have not obtained it yet. I've not got there. But these died because they desired a better resurrection. Do you not desire a better resurrection than simply just be raised in the natural sense? I mean, would being raised like Lazarus was raised from the dead, would that satisfy you? It'd satisfy 95% of the people in the earth if they could just live forever in this world. They'd be happy with that. Because this world's what they're looking for. But you see, the people of God are looking beyond this. This world's not our home. It's just like he said here, these confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. We don't want to. This world is not a place that brings us enjoyment in the strictest sense of the word. And I'm not saying there's not enjoyable things in the flesh in the world, because there are. But those are not the things which our life is made up of. We seek a better resurrection. You see, we're looking beyond the present time. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Think of John the Baptist. Being destitute, afflicted, tormented. People say, well, you know that guy, something. I mean, he's strange. He lives out in the wild, and he's eating locusts and wild honey and going around in old skins and stuff. And people said, well, he's a wild man. He's what the Lord said to the Pharisee, well, what did you expect? He said, what were you looking for? I said, would you have believed him if he'd have come in a fine suit of clothes and was a rich and wealthy man? Would you have believed what he said? No, because you see, it's not in those things. But it's in that which God is pleased to bring pass. And so they then they wandered about, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They died in the faith, not having received the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what that really boils down to is that the Lord is saying here in this chapter of faith that all of these things were done by faith, by those who believed God, just as He had exhorted these Hebrews in the verse just prior to this chapter starting. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believed to the saving of the soul. He said, these all believed. He said, now you, having heard the gospel and believed it, there are some among you who are going back into the ways of Judaism. He said, these people, by the grace of God, to demonstrate to you what faith is, they wouldn't accept anything but that which they looked for. And he says here, these all having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't even receive the promise. But he said, brethren, you have received the promise. And we are not of them that turn back into perdition, but we are those whom God has by grace through faith caused to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will move on, he said. Because God, having provided some better thing for us. Now, these men, they suffered all those things, and they didn't even see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't see Christ come as the substitute for sinners. They didn't see that clearly. They didn't know who He was. They didn't know what God was going to do. John the Baptist, who was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, who having looked upon Christ and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, dear brethren, he did not receive the promise. Because he died in prison, still expecting that there was coming a Messiah that was going to set him free from prison. But you see, he died in faith, but he did not die having received the promise. But you and I, you see, we've received the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us. Now, if God wants to give something better to somebody than he did to some of his other children, what could we say to that? Does it mean that He loves us more than He did them? No, it's just what He decided to do. That's how He ordained it to be. That the Old Testament saints would die without the full knowledge of the same things that you and I count to be simple. John the Baptist, and I've used this illustration many times, John the Baptist, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, the Lord said, I tell you, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. That is, he that has seen the unfolding of the gospel in the person of Jesus Christ as that revelation of God coming to flesh and walking among men and taking our sin and taking it away as far as east is from the west, and proving it by rising from the dead. The man that's seen that is greater than John the Baptist. Because John never saw that. And God has provided better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, the whole purpose of God in the creation of the world is to bring to light the glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saints, they believed that God was bringing these things past, but they didn't see how it was going to be. Brethren, we have been blessed to see those things. And that's what he says here in the first verse of chapter 12, and we'll close with this. Wherefore, in light of that, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. All those men that's gone before us, these are the witnesses that have been given to us down through time. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. How can we turn back? How can we turn back? He said, we're compassed about. Look at all these witnesses in time past who endured all these things, not having seen what we've seen. But now we having seen it, dear brethren, let's press on. Not looking to ourselves and saying, well, boy, we're favored of God. No. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because He is the one in whom our confidence is placed. We have received the promise, dear brethren. It cannot be said of us that these all died in the faith not having received the promise. We die in the faith having received the promise and expecting that the same one who redeemed us will come again to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also.